Hello, welcome to the big show. Yeah, sorry there was no Max Show earlier, but we had a bit of a catastrophe with guests, as per. It happens once in a while. Never mind. We did two shows last week. You know, don't count your chickens. Joining me to discuss the week in tech, absolutely stellar bunch. Starting us off, Camps. How's it going, buddy?
Good, yeah, really good.
So I saw your run. Your run looked good, mate. Pudsey Valley, or whatever you said.
Yeah, yeah. Last night, bit of a training run down in the valley in Pudsey. What, just over 5 miles, 1,100 feet of climbing. So that got the heart rate pumping and the legs moving a little bit. A bit of a getting them going after Leeds 10K last Sunday.
Well, now the Leeds 10K was the one that you said that we came and saw you for. So you did, was that an improvement for you on the time?
Yeah, it was only a 13-second improvement on the last time I ran it, but it's an improvement. So
yeah, take it.
It was the third race in a week, so to come off the back of two other races and then log a PB, I was happy with that.
Yeah, no, take it. Sure. Good man. Next to him is Howa. How you doing, girl?
I'm fine. Excellent. Doing really good.
Now we were talking earlier on. We saw your picture against a fantastic gold-looking car.
Yeah, it was a gold McLaren.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's just get this straight. They bought a McLaren and then they sprayed it gold. Because I don't think McLaren... It's like... What if they screw it up?
Yeah, I'm guessing it was custom made to be gold.
Does your warranty in?
I don't think he had bothered about warranty. And we're looking at the guy.
And we have to ask, how's Pamela?
She's fine. She might be around in about 2 weeks.
Excellent. Does she know she's famous?
Yeah, she does. She's actually scared that she's famous now.
Oh, awesome. You've got to get her on, girl.
Because she's also like, oh, yeah, they keep mentioning you. She's like, no, no, no.
No, you've got to, if she comes and stays, mate, you've got to make sure she's, even if it's just for an interview, and then we'll play the show. Good stuff.
She'll steal the show.
Yeah, most likely.
Next hour, our man with no plan, Greeny Boy.
How dare you? It's all scripted. The whole of this is scripted.
It is, mate.
Timing, the beats are scripted and everything.
I've got to say, pal, you're looking as well as I've ever seen you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you do. You look brill.
Even with a giant spot in the end of my nose?
Yeah, no, that's transient, mate. That'll go.
Okay.
Either that or it'll turn into a unicorn.
I'll grow two noses. So that's good. Cricket. Who's the luckiest devil in the world?
That would be me.
Yes, I think it would be.
I was at the cricket yesterday, England versus Australia. It was stunning. And I've got to say, the boys looked in the zone. They were trotting around the field and they were pleased when they got the wicket. But when they were there, they were just serious. You could see that they were in like a little bubble. They were doing so well with it. Wokes was unreal. I mean, the pace that he generated was superb. And I know that like Jofra Archer's been quiet for the last two games, but I think that's because he's a new boy and he just, you know, the pressure was maybe a little bit much. But yesterday he really showed through, really, really good. Well impressed with them all. And Roy, sublime. Absolutely sublime.
Oh,
just
he's sort of a new guard, isn't he?
He couldn't do anything wrong, just, you know. And he didn't do anything wrong when he got out. That's the irony of it. Bairstow wasted the thing. He reckoned he'd touched it, but I don't think he had. He really wasted the thing because it pitched in line. There's no way it pitched outside leg. So, but we finished it off. We did them. That's all that matters. And they're Aussies. Yeah, doing the Aussies has got to be good, hasn't it, mate?
Always. Hey,
how about Sunday? What's your thoughts on Sunday?
I think we'll do them.
Yeah, so do I.
I think we can do them. If they stay in that bubble, if they just stay focused, we can do them.
I think the last game, last one day I went to was England, New Zealand. I took you, didn't I?
Yeah, you and me were there, yeah. England, New Zealand.
And we did them big time, didn't we?
Oh, we stuffed them, yeah. And I got a fantastic picture at the end. I did a panoramic shot with my iPhone, and it was as the last catch was taken. And Jason Roy actually took the catch, I think. Or it was Hales. Might have been Hales or Roy. Roy, I think it was. And
I've been drinking all day. I don't know.
I've been drinking all day as well. I'm surprised I got it. But the thing is, you go around this panorama and all the way around, it looks absolutely stunning. There's a bloke in front of me with a Guinness glass with his arms raised and he's the focal point of it and it looks brilliant. And then just in the bottom end of it on the right-hand side, there's someone wearing a David Miliband mask. and it's like you track this thing around and you get to the, oh, and you look at him. So.
The stewards are very miserable that day, weren't they? Chasing all the people, collecting all the glasses and making a snake.
Oh, yeah, the beer snake was really good. Yeah, it was bloody long as well. We were in the Eric Hollis stand, and it gets a bit rowdy in there anyway, but there was guys there, and they must have had 30, 40 foot of beer snake. And they were running away, but the thing was, they got this. There was like four of them trying to carry this and stop it breaking. And it was just too unwieldy. They couldn't get away from the stewards. Even the fat stewards were catching them. So
yeah, they just started again, didn't they, when the stewards got it?
Yeah. That person who's joining us is Muller Biker. How you doing, mate?
Hello. Just right. Recapping on past histories, yeah?
Now, we need to say goodbye, mate, because it is the last outing of the Muller. The Muller table.
I'm willing up. I just don't think I could take it.
Last outing of the Muller desk. It is going to go after this because we're going to have a mobile system so we can go out into the studio there and use the green screen. Are you all right with it, mate?
I don't know. I'll see how I feel next week.
Well, next week you're going to be on the table that's behind you. With Eddie the Wonder Dog.
Oh, right. Oh, that table.
Yeah, and we're going to have a camera up here that's going to point towards you. There'll be a wider view, and you'll have your own power off the table and everything. So it'll be an improvement.
All right, okay.
I promise.
We'll see. The lads will have a go at it on the bash, because they're all coming, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, of course they'll all be for the bash, yeah.
So we'll need to have enough cameras on there.
Yeah, we'll swing the table around and we'll get everyone on, and the camera will be here and we'll just get everybody in. It'd be lovely.
I've changed the name of the show actually for the Bash Day. Did you notice?
Have you put Bash Show or something? Or
I put the Bash Special. I've called it the Bash Special.
Oh, cool. Excellent, mate. Like that. Good stuff. Is the audio all right? Because I got a pile of shit last week over the fact that the audio was crap on the Mac show. I do apologise. I didn't realise. People were telling me and I hadn't listened. So 20 minutes of audio is crap, but it was only from two of them, and I don't know why. So
it was Brett, wasn't it?
Ben Gillam's in the chat room at the moment, if he could send me a message. Bob was very upset earlier. He's in Florence on holiday, and he'd gone to a cafe special to listen to the Mac show, but now he's not there. So, and we do miss Grumpy Bob.
So. Whatever he does, he shouldn't go and see Midsommar, that film.
Really?
Yeah, because he'd have to jump off the cliff. If you've seen it, because if you're 72, you have to jump. You have to die.
Off the bridge?
Yeah, you have to jump.
In Florence?
Basically you'd have to go to Sweden first. I mean, okay. You'd have to watch the film.
It's quite
horrific, actually. One woman have to leave. That scene come on, the woman left the cinema, and that wasn't the worst bit.
I hope you're enjoying this week in cricket and movies, with me, you and Rankin. Deep Pan's here, he says the audio's fine. Muller, you've got to be careful because Ewan's moving you further away. You're going to be in the street at this rate. There is no street. There's a dock outside, though, and he's been close to being there a few times. Right, the week in tech, all the big stuff that's gone on. Who's got the first story for us? Oh, Campion, yeah, slight finger.
I thought we was doing our special on the moon.
Oh, yeah, okay. No, that's a good point. Let's start with that because... There's only me and Muller have got any kind of recollection whatsoever, but of course this week is the anniversary of 50 years of landing on the moon. So it's quite a special occasion. I thought we'd pay a few minutes tribute. Muller suggested. I thought that's a good idea.
I think we should.
Yes. Yeah.
Our story is actually linked to this story, but isn't, you know, it is, yeah, it is. Yeah, but I mean, I don't know about you, but I was 9. So I was allowed to stay up.
I definitely wasn't 9.
No.
I was 2.5.
Okay. So you probably didn't really understand what was going on. I remember coming home from school for a lot of the NASA stuff and being able to watch it on black and white TV. You know, and I think some of the later missions are actually on at a reasonable time in the afternoon for me to watch.
Well,
them.
I've got recollections of really shitty black and white pictures, and I do remember our black and white TV, and I know it's my memory because I've mentioned it to my mother and she said yes, that was the black and white TV that we had. And I said about the moon landings and she said I'm surprised you remember that because I was only 2 and a bit. So it was kind of I think they are my memories, but it was just a shaky, horrible you know, I remember Armstrong being really blown out. So it was, it wasn't even like a silver spacesuit. It was like a really white spacesuit that just didn't, that was completely, you couldn't, you know, featureless almost against the black background. But I do remember other launches, Apollo launches that went through, and I was a child of Apollo. It was really cool.
Yeah,
I mentioned today on the Crack at the Rootless that Chris Eschweiler sent me over the mission patches from Johnson. That was really kind of him. But yeah, no, it was a big part of my life as a child. I had all of the my dad brought the stickers and stuff like that, and we loved it. We wish they'd carried on, most definitely.
If you're interested, if you want to take the kids up to Think Tank, you can print your own mission patch. You can actually design it yourself, and they print it. I don't know how much it costs, but I suppose there must be a cost in it. And they'll print it for you,
your
own mission patch, because they've got an exhibition on celebrating 50 years at the Think Tank in Birmingham.
Yeah, my recollection of custom mission patches goes back to the United States Air Force. I had a friend down at Hayford Air Force Base, where the B-111 used to be stationed, and they used to create their own mission patches, and their whole game was about how inappropriate the mission patch could be, but they'd get it past their commanding officer and get it approved.
We used to go down there on driving courses to get the American donuts, because you couldn't, at that time, you couldn't get them. You had to, they were only there, so we used to drive down there. We'd have to get some dollars before we go and buy enough donuts to take back.
Yeah, we used to get Michelob there. The first time I'd ever tried Michelob beer.
And we weren't allowed to buy alcohol because we were driving.
So have any of you guys got any recollections, or have you got anything about Apollo that you want to talk about? Because, I mean, it's. I know you weren't born. I'm assuming you weren't born, Howard. You look.
No, I wasn't born.
No. Greeny was close, but not close enough.
His spot was there.
In fact, actually, McGrinney, you were probably conceived during Apollo 13.
Apollo 11?
The question is, is it real?
Yes.
Oh, we're not doing a fake I'm glad your audio's gone shit, mate.
You can see the booming tire tracks on some of the photographs from things that have passed over the moon. The tire tracks are there. You can see them.
Where's the flag, and why wasn't it flying? You know, it was flying in the wind.
Sorry, Campion, are we upsetting you or something? Are you...
No, sorry, I'm just the wires just popped out.
Greedy, you need to watch the BBC documentary. It shows you how they set the flag up. It's actually got stuff in it, so it actually waved.
Yeah, you can trust the BBC, can't you?
Oh,
you can't
God. Well, they explained how they did it. So they did axes, and they were setting it up. So the flag was actually static, but it would move.
But you've seen the Mythbusters episode, right?
No, I don't think I have. No.
Yeah, you've seen... Right, you need to watch the Mythbusters episode. It'll probably be on YouTube, of how they dispelled the myths. And they do the flag in a vacuum, in a big chamber in a vacuum, and move it, and it swings just like it's blowing. But the other thing you've got to watch is the Mitchell and Webb sketch about faking the moon landings.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
I mean, that's superb, because it's just like they sit there and go, right, okay, so we're going to fake the moon landings. Okay, well, we're going to have to let off a really big rocket. What do you mean? Well, we're going to have to send the rocket up, aren't we? Because there's going to be loads of people watching, and it's massive, so we've got to send the rocket. Oh, okay, and if the rocket blows up or something, then we'd have to, you know, what would we do then? So, you know, it's got to be successful. Oh, okay, fine. And in the end, they work out the only thing they'd save on will be the catering.
I'm pretty sure if that didn't happen, the Russians and the Chinese by now would have been all over it, because they would have been
going... Because people were listening to the signals, and they know the origination of the signals.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you seen Capricorn 1, Greeny?
No, I can't say I have.
Right, so there's
now we're taking Hollywood as fact, are we?
No. Let me explain Capricorn 1 to you. So Capricorn 1 is a film that was made in the 70s, which is about a mission to Mars, and they completely fake it because they haven't got the budget for the life support system. So when they're on the pad ready to go, guy opens the door and says, right, fellas, out you get, because we haven't got the money for the life support system. You're all going to die if you stay in here. So they get out, they take them to a facility, they fake the landing on Mars, and then on re-entry, the ship burns up. If anyone, this is a spoiler alert, by the way, the film's 40 years old, steady on. So when the thing lands, it burns upon re-entry, and then they figure out, well, okay, the three astronauts are stood there, and they go like, well, that means they've got to kill us then. So we better try and escape. So they try and escape, and the guy that's the lead, I can't remember his name, he escapes and successfully turns up at his own funeral at the end. But that's all. And there was one guy there who says, can I have a word with you, flight? And he says, what's up? He says, I'm sitting monitoring the signals. There's no way these signals are coming from Mars. They're much closer. And he says, no, you can't be. You've got to be wrong. Check your machine. He says, yeah, I checked my machine and it's right. I've run some diagnostics. It's definitely right. No, it can't be. And then he gets bumped off. So if he can do it in the film, that proves that people were monitoring the signal.
They were monitoring Joshua Bank.
But the edited versions of the photos, there's one in particular, Buzz Aldrin is on the moon, and NASA edited it and added a load more extra stuff to disguise their fakery, as it were.
Rubbish.
That's not... Mate. No, it's there. I'm looking at it right now. And I knew about it before.
Send me a link, mate, and I shall put it on the thing and we'll have a look. But I think it might be bollocks.
Think.
Well,
I'm being kind.
And I'm looking at them.
I've just told the bike he's as good as he's ever looked to me. And he's...
And how can the flag be fluttering like that? They could sort of weigh down with lead and stuff like that if they wanted to.
The bottom edge was. The bottom edge had got lead shot in the bottom.
Why would they want to do that?
The top and the bottom are totally sort of straight. Well, almost straight. It looks like the... And you can see the sort of ripples in the flag as it goes in the wind. It's all made up. It's either that or aliens. They're either trying to sort of...
Jesus.
They're either trying to...
Space agency admits flag probably disintegrated.
Well, when they took off, they showed you on the documentary, didn't they, that everything scattered. But, I mean, there's actually photographs taken from a Chinese thing.
Rover,
that went,
yeah.
Not a rover. It orbited
low orbit thing, yeah.
Yeah, it orbited the moon to map it. And you can actually, if you look at the right photograph, you can see all the tire tracks.
Yeah, but how come the flag disintegrated?
Because it was close to... Because when the top bit of the lander took off, it scattered everything.
But it left all the tire tracks.
Well, the side tracks went 30 blooming kilometres away. They couldn't blast anything.
Right,
look, away,
before we get too far, can we just say that there was no lunar rover on Apollo 11? No, that was about 15 or something, wasn't it? So,
no, I can't remember which one, but you can definitely see the tire tracks on some of the photographs going all the way to a crater and back.
I will agree that Americans landed on the moon, but not with Apollo 11. It was later, definitely later. The first one was just a setup.
Oh, that's such rubbish. Such rubbish, Greeny.
Just to bless the Russians off. That's all it was.
Just such rubbish. But, mate, so you know, we're at 50 years since it happened. So there'd be 20 to 30-year-olds now who'd be dying. And someone on their deathbed's got to get an attack of conscience and go, do you know what? I made it all up. It wouldn't happen.
It probably has happened. Well, yeah, NASA will stop in. Might not step in because they don't... We all know the truth.
Want you to know, Muller, this is your fault.
I know. You want to listen to the podcast as well, 12 Minutes to the Moon? They interview a lot of these people from the control rooms who were about 20, 26 at the time. They were incredibly young. I mean, how would they get that many people to lie for so long? There were 3,000 or 4,000 people involved in the construction of the rocket alone.
It's all fed to their monitors. So when we're there in the control room...
I'm going to get so many emails.
We better move on before we kill him.
Right, okay, let's have a quick vote. Who thinks Greeny's on the money? Who thinks Greeny's talking bollocks?
Me.
Camps is on the fence.
I don't know what to believe about it.
Campion, Jesus Christ, mate. You were the one... Go on. Get that fence post out your arse and tell us what you really think.
I don't really know enough about it to comment, but I think there's been space travel. I think, as in, there's been people on the moon, but I'm not convinced about everything that I've seen on the pictures.
Oh, God.
Oh. I've seen Moonraker.
Yes, so have I.
Which has got nothing to do with going to the moon.
No, but as in the landing.
Okay, but you know Moonraker's, like, fiction?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. At least we've got some reality on the show. Campsite IROs for you, mate. Jesus Christ.
I'm not 100% on it.
Oh, hang on, fellas. I've got Buzz Aldrin on. He says, you're all talking bollocks.
He's dead, isn't he?
He's not dead, you cheeky bastard. He's fit and well. Yeah. He's my hero. Anyway,
let him know. The 50-50 vote to very highly intelligent people. And so I would consider myself more intelligent than any of you, so I think that I would give it an extra 1%.
Though. The fact that you can come out with the statement, I would consider myself more intelligent than the rest of you, clearly shows you aren't. Because the people who are really intelligent are worried that they're not actually intelligent. But my favourite story is about a woman. I can't remember her name. She's an astrophysicist. I want to say Heather Cooper, but she sat next to Buzz Aldrin at a dinner. And she's kind of like, holy crap, this is Buzz Aldrin. What am I going to say? So she turns to him and she says, what was it like to walk on the moon? And he just looked at her and went, crunchy, and then went back to his soup. And that was all she got out of him all night.
Well, I've been told that Buzz Aldrin was a bit of an arse. And he would say something like that, A, because he wasn't there.
Give over.
Oh, God.
And B, because he was a bit miffed that he wasn't the first man on the moon, wasn't he? He was second.
What about poor Collins in the module that was going round and round and round? I mean, he must have been really upset as well.
Who?
Collins.
Yeah, they were just hiding from him, and they came back about an hour later and going, we went, it was great, it's crunchy.
And what about all the moon rock they bought back on Apollo 11? Have they banged that up as well? Because you can actually, well, I've never seen it, but I mean, certainly scientists have got hold of it.
I think it's time we moved on.
Yeah, but just one last thing, though. How can they prove that it's moon rock? If nobody's ever been to the moon, how can they say,
because it's exactly the same as Earth.
Hooray, this is moon rock. So that proves it. Oh, okay.
Well, geologists have said that it definitely is, because they found bits of moon rock on the Earth from asteroids and stuff.
Well, the moon is mostly made up of bits of Earth.
It's basalt, isn't it?
Because it's all from the collision. That's where they got the collision theory from. So.
That was a good idea.
Well, we've got the title of the show, haven't we? Talking Bollocks.
Just destroyed all of my youth.
Again.
Again. Oh. How was Buzz Aldrin the second man on the moon if he didn't go? Don't put that. Jesus, that's like blue touch paper. Jesus, deep man. Camps, what should we do with our on-life self after we die? Go through your story, for God's sake. And don't make any of it up.
So, yeah, I heard this one on Sky News this morning. Life Search and Analysis have found that 24% of people from their surveys would want their social media and their email accounts automatically deleted after they die. Instead of it, you know, I suppose, becoming some sort of memoriam piece. And it kind of got me thinking a little bit today around, so we've got so much stuff in Facebook, we've got, you know, Instagram, we've got, how many people store their photos in things like in iCloud as an example, and all these passwords that we know, or in a lot of cases actually don't know because they're set up on Thumbprint nowadays, but our friends or our family have got no access to them, and then when we go, they either can access them, or they're going to struggle to either get rid of them, delete them, or hide them. And I just found it a really interesting piece today. When I think about it, I've got got Facebook, Instagram, everything with it. Nobody knows my passwords other than me. My passwords are securely stored in iCloud. Nobody knows the access control to that other than me. All my bills online, even all the stuff for the house. You know, my wife doesn't know pretty much any of the account details, passwords or anything. So if I wasn't here, what happens to all my stuff? How do I protect it? How do I make it available?
Do you know what? I'd be less worried about my social media and more worried about how Angela's going to pay the frigging electric bill when you're gone.
Well, yeah.
You've got all the passwords.
It's everything, isn't it? All that stuff is now online, and there's no pieces of paper come through the door every month saying where our electric's from, and I bet you Angela doesn't even know who our electric's with.
Is she allowed to read?
Yeah.
Well, you don't let her have the password, so I just wondered if you're allowed to open the mail or not. It's just
no, that's what I'm saying. It's all e-bills. Everything's online.
Of course she doesn't read the email. She's in the cupboard where I keep her.
She's blow up.
All the bills come in on email, all through the account. She just doesn't see them. It's not like, you know, an N-Power or a British Gas bill lands on the doormat once a month or once a quarter, like it used to do. And it just made me think about, all the stuff that we've got in online now. I know full well how that none of my passwords are available to anybody else. So I just kind of wondered what other people on the panel thought. What do they think about, you know, accessibility of their stuff if they were incapacitated or unavailable for whatever reason?
I just contact GCHQ and see if I'm getting through there.
I kind of go back to my father-in-law passed last year. It took me, 3 months for me to get his Facebook page sorted out. 4 months for me to get his Facebook page sorted out. And I, well, relatively speaking, knew where to go to get this done and that it was possible. Other people in the family would not have had a clue.
No.
But the proof and the hoops I had to jump through to be able to get access to his Facebook page as a, I can't remember exactly how they termed it now, almost like a delegate of his page, and then be able to put it as almost like a memorial page.
Did he set you up as a delegate before you started?
No. Nope. He'd never done that. They'd never set me up as a delegate. We didn't know his password. So I had to get in touch with Facebook. I had to send them the link to his Facebook page. I had to send them a copy of his death certificate. I had to show them my marriage certificate, which obviously had his daughter's certain maiden name on, and then proof of my ID for me to show the link. And it was 3 or 4 months it took me to get that page sorted out. It was ridiculous. It just made me think.
I've got a letter to a person that I update periodically. No, it's not you, Alexa. I've got a letter to a person that I update periodically that when I die, it'll be found and it'll go to them. And they've got all the passwords to everything and instructions to speak to people and tell certain people certain things.
Like your porn history as well.
No, that's available to everyone.
do you not get that spreadsheet every week, Muller?
Just go to pornhub.com and pretty much anything you see there I've already watched. So,
Ewan, is that an app? Does that? What is that?
No, it's a piece of paper in an envelope.
Okay, right, yeah.
The only problem I've got is up here, it's sealed, so I have to open the envelope and rewrite the envelope and then put it back in again.
Well, and is that in a safe or with a solicitor or something like that?
No, I mean, I could do that, but it's somewhere that it would be found.
Yeah.
Because there'd be places that'd have to be cleared and that kind of stuff. So.
I think the things that you want to survive is your photographs that you've taken over the years. Because they've got, I mean, as I saw on a similar story, in the old days, obviously there'd be a shoebox in the attic, wouldn't there, with all the photographs of the family. Now, from about, I mean, there's still photographs I've gone into my father's stuff when I was sorting out my mum going into the home, and there was dozens of boxes with paperwork and that. In the future, many young people are just not going to have any of that. It's all going to be online. So then they die, it dies with them.
Mm-hmm.
which is quite upsetting, I suppose.
Yeah, no, this story goes on to talk about a scenario just like what you've just mentioned there, Muller. But yeah, that made me think whilst yeah, I've got photographs backed up and they're backed up on USB drives, and I've got some here and I've got some at my mum's house. Actually, most other people don't do that. Most people, you know, they take pictures and it either goes into Amazon Drive, it goes into iCloud or Google Drive or somewhere like that, and they're synchronized, hopefully, and that's where they go. Some people probably just plug the phone into the PC once every now and again when they remember to do a synchronization, because that's all they really know how to do. But how on earth you get hold of them pictures for so many people if they weren't here it's a big question. And I think a lot of people are almost ignorant to the fact that, you know, if that account wasn't available, everything in it isn't available either.
Well, I've got lots of... I'm at the age now where I've had friends die, and they're still in my Facebook friends, and you can still go to their web pages, and they're still there. And it's... I don't know. I keep thinking, should I delete them from my friends? Because it's quite upsetting.
This is what this story goes on to say. So down towards the bottom of this story, it's saying that in 2015, a girl lost her 17-year-old brother. He died in a car accident. She found comfort looking at his social media photographs and videos, as well as other messages that they'd sent each other via the social platforms. But then when Sasha's main social account was suspended after one of his friends informed the platform, she said it was like losing him again. So somebody, one of his friends, had contacted the platform and said, this person's passed. The platform had then suspended it without checking out with anybody, I'm assuming. And then they had to jump through hoops to ultimately get that account re-enabled so she could see the pictures again. So if you contacted the platform and said that this person's gone, but there's somebody else out there who's actually, you know, like a family member who is looking at that and enjoying looking at that, then suddenly it's gone for them as well.
Yeah, but things like that, I'd want to be able to make that decision. So I want to be able to make the decision that I want my platform available to people, or I just want to shut it down. But I agree, a lot of people don't think about that. I mean, I've started compiling a list just because I've been thinking about it, like what will happen to all my digital accounts if I do pass on. So I've started compiling a list and just trying to figure out who I'll pass that list on to. But it is, oh, I don't know. Definitely the younger generation is not something that they're thinking about at all.
Yeah, it's certainly probably in very, very few, if any, people's wills in terms of things, instructions for things like this as well.
I think it's hard because what you do for yourself and what you want, what your will is completely different from what other people want to see and get from your online presence. So as you say there, there's a great deal of solace. And I lost I lost a guy I used to play golf with. He died on my birthday, and I was getting ready the following day to go and play golf with him. And I got a phone call saying, are you sitting down? Yeah, because Mike's dead. Bloody hell. He can't be. I'm going to play golf with him in an hour. No, he really is. And it was that stupid. It was that idiotic of a sentence of, well, he can't be because I'm playing golf with him in a bit and he hasn't told me. Well, no, because he died the day before, you muppet. But it was just like, that was incredulity of it. And I've still got his phone number in my phone. I can't delete it. I just cannot delete it. And it's probably been allocated to someone completely different now. But I just can't delete it. And it's irrational. It's completely irrational that I can't delete it, but I can't delete it. So, you know, I totally get that people would like to look back over your tweet history and go, God, look at what my dad wrote, you know, 4 years ago, 15 years ago, 40 years ago on Twitter. That'd be kind of cool. That would be kind of cool. I don't want it deleted, yeah.
Yeah, I created my daughter a social media account, a Twitter account, and when she was little, me and her used to sit there and just do stupid tweets, and I'd do them as if it was her saying it. Mm-hmm. And every now and again, we do have a look back. It's funny. And I have to explain to her what, you know, when she dropped that plastic iron on my head, that's why we tweeted that. So I can see all that.
She's going to hate you when she's 16.
Well, she might sue you when she's 16.
Oh, my boy
that's
was
what
16.
They're doing now, isn't it?
Did you all see the picture of my boy shaving?
Yeah.
My boy, Ellis is 3 years older. He's got a Wilkinson sword razor that screws together with a double-sided razor in it, but the razor blade's not in it, obviously. And he was shaving. He wanted to shave at three, so I let him do it. I took a picture of him while it was doing it, and it is the coolest picture. Mm. It really is. But we posted that on his 16th birthday just to wind him up. But actually, it doesn't wind him up. He thinks it's really cool. So.
Oh, God. Good
on.
Doesn't work. I don't know. I'm undecided about what I want to happen with my social life on, because there is an awful lot of, I think that, you know, it'd be good to look back. And there's the thing, you know, you talk about the fact that all of those images are going to be lost. Well, actually, if all my tweets were still out there, you know, Ellis could sit down on Twitter and say, oh, look at your granddad's tweets, mate. God, hasn't the world changed? And that would be cool. Yeah. It is what your granddad thought. Is your granddad's political views? Is your granddad's music tastes? You know, you'd know so much more about the person. I know I'm totally into keeping it now.
It's the modern day letters in a shoebox.
It is. Yeah, no, I don't want it deleted. I'm decided now. There you go. Done.
Yeah. I think for me, it's just the leaving passwords for the other important stuff. Even if that's to, because Facebook have a facility to keep the account in memory of. So you can have, you can essentially keep your Facebook page in memory and Facebook keep it like that, preserve it like that.
Now, here's what I want. I want an algorithm to be written that could go back over your tweets and compile a virtual you, and you still kept tweeting after you were dead.
Deep Pan's link? I've not.
Yeah, but that's not the same. I don't think that's the same. But what I want to do is I want a learning algorithm to find out what I was like and post some more tweets from me. Because there'll be people there going, oh, that's totally what Ewan would have said.
so an algorithm that looks at news of the day and then tweets from Ewan.
It wouldn't work for Greeny, because any random shit that came out would everyone would just go, oh, that's totally Greeny. You could just put anything in.
What I was thinking about, this is in all seriousness, a gravestone with a sort of a touch panel in or something like that. So in America, you know, they have cameras that shows your body rotting away.
No.
My thoughts about it was you could have your gravestone with a touchscreen embedded in the gravestone, and then people could write messages on the gravestone and press return, and that they would be messages sort of from beyond the grave. Literally.
Yeah. Would you want a screen inside the coffin so you could read them?
I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind it. I'll take my iPhone in there. But no, I mean, it's a funny thing, isn't it? Technology and death come together. It's absolutely bizarre, but it's opening people's minds. And I feel that can only be a good thing. And in some ways, it's sort of reconnecting us to our past selves that previously. What the hell am I talking about?
No idea.
No, it was really good. It was really good. It was trenchant.
Jesus, yes. We all just had to look up trenchant.
Yeah.
I'm impressed, mate, because you are more intelligent than the rest of us, clearly.
Well, yes, obviously, yeah. But only 0.1%, so I can win the, or we can win, the moon landing thing. You know what my pick? Oh, I won't say what my pick is.
No, don't leave it for the picks. Me and Sharon have an agreement. For my tombstone, there will be a plaque or something after I die, because I am famous for not being the best at DIY, and I start things and I rarely complete them. So she is going to put on my plaque, life, comma, the only thing Ewan Rankin ever finished.
It's good.
It is.
Yeah.
I tell you what I also want. I want my last tweet to be, I'm not feeling well. I'm going to the hospital. That would be awesome.
I told you I was ill.
Yeah. That's Mulligan. Milligan.
Milligan, yes.
Spike Milligan. Milligan. I told you I wasn't feeling well.
No, I told you I was ill. It was on his. It's actually on his grave.
It's on his gravestone,
it?
Yeah.
Harry doesn't know who he is.
Spike Milligan.
No, you can see from her face, she has absolutely no idea. You'll have to Google him.
Just Google Spike Milligan Q8.
Q8.
Q as in the letter Q, 8 number.
You'll have to listen to some of his comedy, but remember some of it was 70s and 80s and it isn't always politically correct.
It's like having Jeff on. Except Jeff's American, but from the same decade, whereas I was English or Nigerian and from different decade.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he does black up occasionally, doesn't he, in a couple of his things.
Yeah, no, it's not really correct.
Before you move on, can I tell a quick story about Milligan's death?
Go on then.
It's only very quick.
We'll have to bleep it.
No. So, Harry Stewart...
Is it faked? He's still alive.
Harry Secombe.
Do you want me to tell the story or not?
Tell the story.
Wrong. Yeah, I'm going to. So Harry Secombe, who was part of the Goon Show, and so was Spike Milligan. So when Harry Secombe died before Spike Milligan, Spike Milligan said, at least the one I have to listen to his singing at my funeral, because Harry Secombe was a great singer. I feel this joke is not, well, it's not even a joke, it's a true story.
Yeah, carry on. I'm with you.
So when Spike Milligan died, they got a record player out and they played...
Love that.
Yeah, it's really...
It is good. Excellent story, mate. That's half the podcast gone. In fact, we're 40 minutes in. Right, someone put a story in, for God's sake. Our sense prevails. Talk us through it, girl.
Prevails. Okay, so Jaguar Land Rover have come up with this AI mood detection that they want to be installing in cars. So it'll be able to detect your mood and make you de-stress if it thinks you're being stressful, feeling stressful while driving. So I can just imagine like all this mood lighting changing, your music changing to something that you like that would calm you down. However, I have this feeling that for me, that just would not work.
Why? Are you unrepentantly angry or something constantly? Is it?
No, I'd probably, something come on, I'd be like, why the hell does that come on?
So it just shocks you and you end up crashing.
Yeah. But yes, it's to ensure their customers remain comfortable, engaged and alert while driving behind the wheel.
Well, see, when I was reading that then, and I think you just hit it on the head, Howard, when you said engaged and alert, I could see if the sensors picked up and actually, you know, eyes are starting to close, heads nodding a little bit, you know, let's whack some music on, let's blow some fresh air in his face, you know, things like that. Brilliant. The mood thing, I wonder how they'll do that.
Exactly.
You can imagine in a few years' time, the car will take over, drive you to the nearest parking space and cut out.
Oh, do you a Starbucks?
Oh, you ain't driving anymore, you're an idiot.
So yeah, if he went driving to the nearest Starbucks, that would be quite good, actually.
Or it works out you're sexually frustrated and takes you to a dogging location.
Oh, dear. We didn't go there, you did.
But yeah, it's a driver-facing camera and a biometric sensor to monitor the person behind the wheel.
Maybe the seat, because I remember driving a Peugeot 505. It used to have what was it called? It would start rubbing your back. It sort of had a thing in the seat, and it would rub your back. And if it was cold, it could heat up as well.
Does it play a bit of Barry White at the same time?
Oh, it's kind of, I don't know how it worked. It was quite relaxing.
A bit of Al Green comes on.
Dear. Oh, dear, no.
You call your seat Mrs. Jones.
I was 13 when that came out, you know. I walked into a party.
I just think, so I do like the idea of this, because there is a certain element of so, like, what would be really good would be if there was, like, a rechargeable sense thing in there as well. So you know, you're sitting there, you're driving along, you're getting a bit upset, so lavender comes out. You know what I'm saying? Because I've got to say, now, I'm not one for mumbo-jumbo. I'm not one for the touchy-feely stuff. You know, it is what it is. But we used to, remember scent burners were a big thing? at the start of the century. And you used to have like a bowl at the top where you put some fluid in and then you put a tea light underneath and it would burn to help you go to sleep. And I put one in one night with lavender in it. And I woke up about 20 minutes after I'd gone to sleep, I think, 30 minutes. And
the fire brigade.
I was choking. It was just like I'd got so relaxed I'd forgotten to breathe. And it was quite a jolting,
really? You know,
quite a boom awake. And so, I read a thing, and he was saying, yeah, no, lavender really aids sleep. And Sharon was struggling with sleep, so she had like a lavender cushion that she put underneath her pillow.
Pouches,
and she slept well after that. So lavender definitely is soothing. There's no question of it in my mind.
I've got a
lavender tea.
Yeah.
True story. I remember going to see my Auntie Florrie, she was called, at like a nursing home. And they had lavender burners or lavender scent in there.
Yep.
And I remember going with my dad and saying, what's that smell? What's that smell? And this lady said, it's lavender. They do it to calm us. And my dad turned around to me and went, nah, they pump that out to cover the smell of piss.
I was thinking in the cars, if you're getting too relaxed, they could put out a fart or something and make you go, what the hell?
I'll never forget that.
Yeah, but then you're going to get to people where people can buy the scent unit. So you're driving along, and as you go past McDonald's or something like that, it releases a bit of sausage and egg McMuffin.
Oh God, that'd be the new advertising.
Or bacon roll.
Yeah, that's like, geolocation advertising. That is best.
Yeah.
That, isn't it?
Oh. Yeah, I'm just driving past. I'm driving past the services. Bacon roll waft snuff. You know, comes in. Going past Gloucester Services on the way down to Bristol to see Anders, and just as you're 5 miles short of Gloucester Services, and you get a strong whiff of one of their bacon sandwiches and a coffee.
What if you're vegan?
You can see that's going though. You can see the world will move in that direction.
Definitely.
You'll need new eyes if you're a killer.
Well, maybe it could be tailored, mate. That's the thing, because they've got scanned biometric scans of your eyes as well. So they know whether the vegan is in the car or that. Yeah, exactly. So they just scan your eye and they're like, right, okay, so here's one set of adverts for this person. It's Tom
Cruise. It'll all be linked, won't it? It'll be linked to your Amazon Go account. It'll know what you buy. It'll know that you don't buy meat. It will, everything will be linked up.
I hope not.
Well, if it's linked to my Amazon account, I definitely think I'm vegan. Yeah, when I'm not.
So what do you buy from, don't say anything that you might regret, but what do you buy from Amazon that makes everyone think you're vegan?
Well, there's no meat on there, is there? So
no,
they might think I don't eat any meat.
The Amazon Go, so over in the US at the moment, which is essentially a supermarket, linked to your Amazon account, obviously the Whole Foods.
I like going to the butcher's.
Well, Howard, buy a butcher's knife, and then they'll know that you're not vegan.
Yeah, they'll know.
Mm. Buy a fillet knife for £1.
You'll probably get a visit from the police and nobody think.
Yeah, exactly. What you doing?
There's been an awful lot of knife purchases in your area. And
considering suspense is, I love suspense and crime. They might think something's wrong if I start buying a knife.
Zombie.
Oh, that's it. You buy an Ian Rankin novel and a knife.
Yeah, you've just watched
and that's it.
And bought 30 meters of polythene.
Yeah, you buy the 30 metres of polythene and a fillet knife, and then it gives you a link to the Dexter online Prime subscription.
Yeah.
People who bought these items also
bought a clown mask.
I was saying that. I was at a network meeting the other day, and there was a kid there who was an actor, and he's actually in a production, so he's not out of work, which is kind of impressive. And he said, I'm looking for Hollywood directors. And I said, I stood up afterwards and I said, I don't know any Hollywood directors, but I know a couple of Hollywood producers. And he went, do you really? I said, yeah, I do actually, because Robert Lloyd Lewis listens to our podcasts. He was the guy that produced Dexter. And if you remember, I've got a Dexter hat, and I got a Dexter hat for Andy and Atco, because Robert sent him one. So,
yeah.
I like what Ben's just said.
What's he said? Deploy a community stinger ahead.
No.
Which one? What's he?
I think he's...
The half the stress of driving with other drivers, maybe it can detect who's doing 25 in a 60 in front of you.
That
really annoys me when people go under, like 10 or 20 under the limit.
Yeah. A James Bond rocket, that's what you need.
Yeah.
Then you're off. Definitely. Good story, mate. Next.
Oh, I think it's me then, isn't it?
Greeny hasn't gone yet. But.
Oh, yeah, well, Greeny will probably start on this one.
I'm waiting with some trepidation for Greeny, sorry. It has to be said.
Yeah, mine's linked to the moon landings, unfortunately.
Oh, that didn't happen.
Yeah. Neil Armstrong's spacesuit is falling apart at the where it's on display. So they've taken it out and they're using 3D printers to fix it. They've tested it on the glove first. They did a Kickstarter campaign called Reboot the Suit. 9,477 people raised more than £539,000 or $700,000 to do this. And there is no... the suit is, over the next few years, going to be fixed. And it looks like they're going to... When they've done this one, they want to work on Buzz's and on Collins's.
But it won't be the real suit then, will it? It'll be like the Turing Shroud, you know. It's just...
Well...
That's a bit worrying, actually, that the Turing Shroud has lasted longer than Armstrong's spacesuit.
Why is the spacesuit failing?
Because it was built by the cheapest bidder.
Well, it was also exposed to probably extreme heat, radiation, and it hasn't probably been treated all that well up until recently. Probably been stuck in a cupboard. So I imagine also 50 years, things change, don't they? Materials do decay.
But, I mean, you walk into most museums and, you know, you can, if I go down to the Royal Armouries in Leeds, you know, there's suits in there, and I'm talking cloth, not just suits of armour, but there's stuff in there 300, 400, 500 years old.
Yeah, but they do actually look after those. See, and they do fix them because
what I'm thinking. Why aren't they treating this suit in the same way that they would treat those?
So here's my thought, and this might have some value. It might not. I haven't really thought this through. But if you've got a spacesuit, you're only trying to keep atmospheric pressure inside. So you don't have to make it particularly thick. So there's probably a fair amount of layers there, but it's probably all lightweight and thin materials so that you can stand a surface puncture and it won't go through because you only have to maintain one bar. So it doesn't have to be that strong.
It also had to also keep heat in, though, didn't it?
No, but I know that's what the things like the space station. It's like everyone goes, oh, the space station must be really rigid and solid and everything. It's not. It's paper thin. Because it doesn't have to do anything other than hold out one bar of pressure.
But I can't remember. Didn't they have an undersuit under that under the spacesuit that had water going around it?
Yeah, there was coolant. Well, yeah,
yeah, coolant and heating, depending on what side of the moon they were on at the time, or when the. I don't know if they were in the sun or they were must have been in the sun or the moon.
Have you seen the Hadfield Chris Hadfield's masterclass advertisement on YouTube?
No.
So Chris Hadfield has got a masterclass thing on YouTube where and the masterclass stuff, you've got Annie Leibovitz there talking about photography. It's like, can't be bothered. And you've got Richie Cunningham talking about directing. And I'm like, maybe. And I watched the advert for Chris Hadfield's masterclass and I watched the whole advert, you know, forget the skip button. I want to watch the whole advert. That guy just drips interest, and I'm not going to sign up for it because I just refuse to pay for it, but it does look incredibly good. He talks an awful lot about how they, and he said he said you've got to take that entire space station manual and boil it down into one page, because if you can't, you've only got one breath to solve all your problems. Wow, what a great statement. But I think it's paper thin. I think that's what's causing the problem here. It's multiple layers of paper thin materials and they're all just disintegrating because they're paper thin.
Well, they weren't designed to last 50 years, were they? They were designed to last Well, I think this one was designed to last 24 hours.
Mm.
Probably 8 days at the most. So as long as he did that, that's all they were bothered about.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Partway down this mannequin, it says, I'm just trying to kind of get the gist of what they've done with 3D printing. But here it says, museums used computer tomography scanning to get a clear picture of the suit's interior elements, while chemical analysis has helped to preserve various aspects of the garment, such as stabilising the silk fibres on the suit's US flag to prevent further colour fading. Then it says, a modular 3D printed mannequin was created not only to physically support the suit, so that's obviously to go inside it like any other mannequin would, but printed in such a way to support it in the right way when it goes on display, but also to form part of an air circulation system designed to reduce unwanted gases emitted by degradation of the suit's materials. So is this a case that they're using 3D printing to repair the suit, or is it that they've used 3D printing to create a mannequin to help preserve it?
I was just thinking, actually, because based on the fact that Buzz Aldrin had to tell him to shut it down because they were running out of fuel, there's probably been a few gases released in that suit already.
I can't understand why they don't have it in a protective atmosphere when they put it on display, because there are certain
museums. I think my question here is, I've not read the full article yet, Muller, but is it that they've actually used 3D to repair the suit, or is it that they've used 3D to build the mannequin, and then they're going to hold it in the right way to create some sort of circulation, but then they're going to put it in some preservation-type sealed container with the right lighting to prevent and slow down?
I think there's a mixture, because I think they've only practiced on the glove at the moment. They've not done the main part. So I think that I'm obviously working for a museum, I have spoken to people who do it properly. I don't pretend to know much about conservation properly, but they do sometimes. There's all sorts of techniques that they do, and sometimes they have to invent them. And I presume that at the moment they're inventing something for this because it's unique.
Yeah, I think this is more about scanning than the printing.
And it's also stabilising it as well, because I suppose it hasn't been treated well up until, when did it first go on display? A few years? It wasn't that, it was only relatively recently it's gone on display. So if they've put it in a bright atmosphere, sun can destroy things quite easily.
But as I'm reading, I think 3D scanning, they've used 3D scanning here to be able to digitize essentially the suit to make it available all over the world through, you know, your computer. I'm assuming you can do some sort of like little virtual tour around the suit, and it's actually the scanning will help them to build then the 3D model to hold it in future. The scanning was also done, so 50 of the glove, 50 x-ray images were used to record the suit's condition and investigate its inner workings.
Yeah.
So I'm not seeing much in the way of repairs through 3D printing on this one, but certainly the scanning that they've done is absolutely critical.
I think it's, as I say, they'll have to do something eventually to keep repairing it and preserve it. And I think at the moment they're probably having to develop techniques. Because if you think about techniques that they used on some scrolls found recently, weren't they up in Scotland on the Scottish borders, Vindolanda was it, and they found these scrolls and they kept them put them somewhere, and they were falling apart because they were exposed to air, and they had to invent techniques to get the print off them, and one of them was to actually X-ray them, and that showed up the writing, and then they developed techniques to preserve the scrolls because they were obviously, you know, literally falling apart on them. So I think it's probably a similar what they're doing here. The Americans are probably having to invent techniques on this, and that's why they've only practiced on the glove at the moment. And once they've perfected that, they might move on to other parts of the garment. So,
which is what they said, yeah.
Yeah.
Good story, mate. Greeny, have you got a story for us, or are you just going to...
Well, I did have two. I had one, then I added another one to it, because...
It's all about George Soros, aren't it?
Well, no, it was the things seem to have sort of taken a sort of a spacey feel. So my first story was about 13 crystal skulls. But I sort of feel that won't work, or would it?
Your choice entirely, mate. I don't judge.
So, Indiana Jones. And
uh-oh.
The
okay, I changed my mind.
You know, it's good. It's good.
You need to look at Slack.
No, this is good. So, Indiana Jones, the fourth one, that everybody slags off about aliens, but I quite liked it personally.
Hang on, we just need a quick debate here, because Crikey Trousers, in the Shite or Not room, which is the film review room in the Slack room, he said, he's put, Indiana Jones trilogy works every time. To which I've replied, you know they made four, right? That's an Irish trilogy. And he's put, wash your mouth out. Which, some people slate off the fourth one quite badly. I get that, that's fine, it's not a brilliant movie. But they still made four Indiana Jones movies, it doesn't change anything, does it?
No, of course
not. Anyway, go back to the Crystal Skulls. Sorry, interrupted, Granny.
Well, no, all I was saying is that Indiana Jones 4, which I think was a good movie, you know, it wasn't as good as the others. Mind you, I didn't like the middle one. What was that one? Temple of Doom. I didn't like that one.
Galima.
Oh,
I just remember the soup.
Even Harrison Ford didn't like that one. I mean, yeah. I didn't like it. Anyway, four,
the critic
is.
Don't interrupt him. Let him get on with the frigging story. Jesus, we'll be here all night. Come on, Grinny.
Number four is about Crystal Skulls.
That's right.
Aliens, and I didn't realise that the 13 Crystal Skulls part was real, and it is.
How is it? Go on, then.
It's absolutely real. And it's from, I was listening to a podcast about it. Anyway, the point is, that's a real legend and something to do with, well, you know, somewhere or other. I've really researched this. But the point being, I was listening to this podcast the other day, so that's a slight bit of technology involved there, that you can make pretty much anything out of crystal, a crystal rat, a crystal dog, whatever
takes your as an ornament, I take it, not real. Yeah.
Well, yes, I suppose so. Yeah, they don't move that, but
you got to say Indiana Jones and the Temple of the Crystal Dog doesn't have the same ring to it, does it?
It's not great, is it? No. But, anyway, this guy was sitting there in his chair, and the lady said to him, close your eyes. This is from the park. And he did close his eyes. And the lady put a crystal skull, he didn't know that, on his lap. And he opened his eyes and he touched it, and he started to cry. And he cried for about a quarter of an hour. Apparently, excuse me. Hold on, I'll just silence myself.
That's the curse of the crystal skull.
It is. That's it. Greeny's going to keel over. William Green and the Curse of the Crystal Skull.
They'll make a film about it eventually. Buzz Aldrin's looking at you.
He's an alien. Bring me out, because I am bringing out the truth of the matter.
Really? You think you're marked?
So, yeah, exactly. So, put the crystal skull in his lap, and he started crying for about a quarter of an hour or 20 minutes or something.
Because it was hot?
You made that up, didn't you? You didn't know the time.
No. I can absolutely post the podcast with the interview with the guy in the show notes. And then he's written books and books on crystal skulls. And I think his domain is crystalschools.com or crystalschool.com. But it's either one of those.
It's not a real thing. It's a legend that the Mayans said that 13 crystal schools would be reunited and a new era would be brought in.
That is true. Yeah. But the point he was trying to make is with the crystal skull, as I say, you can make crystal dogs or whatever you want, crystal rabbits, but they don't work. They haven't got the same energy as a crystal skull has got. So if you buy a crystal skull, not one of the original 13, and there's one in the British Museum apparently, but if you get the crystal skull and you put your two fingers on the eyes, then you get this sort of amazing power from it. But that isn't my story.
Jesus Christ.
You know, Smoke, I changed my mind. I totally believe of the moon landings.
Well, this, I think, sort of comes full circle. I chose this part now.
Mate, the only way that's going to have any, crystal skull is going to have any energy in it is if you put a battery in it. Okay?
No, it's no. Well, listen to this guy. He totally made me a believer. But I'm a bit of a sucker, to be fair.
Yeah, I was going to say, you do a ghost tour around Ironbridge, so I'm your threshold of proof's not high.
You know what?
Go on.
We were talking about Facebook earlier.
Yeah.
Facebook won't let me create an account.
For what, your ghost tours?
Yep.
Why not? What's the reason they're offering? It's shit and it's not real.
They don't give a reason. They say, my photos don't match. I'm using a made-up name.
What?
All sorts of things.
Are you trying make that as a personal account, though, rather than a business?
No. So I did a business account, and they said no. So then I thought, okay, I'll make a personal account.
Have you used
and they've said no as well to that.
Well, you cancelled your account, though, didn't you, though? That's
yes,
why. They blocked your account from... You need to just reactivate your account. Say, I am that account, and I need to come back. Don't say the account name.
No, the account was deleted years ago.
Yeah, I know, but it's probably still active in the sense that it's still waiting to be reactivated.
You might be able to reactivate it, but... Anyway,
Indiana Jones and the Ghost Tours of Ironbridge.
So my point being is, this is my real tech pick, is Jodrell Bank, which is now a UNESCO World Heritage Site.
Yeah, good story.
So that's it. And fair play to them. And if you drive past it, which I have quite a few times, it just blows your mind. It's a bit like a crystal skull, but made of metal.
It's actually got energy in it. It's like a crystal skull, but with energy actually in it, rather than just... Because the energy turns it, because it's a big thing.
But it's...
It's massive, isn't it?
Well, it's big.
Even from a distance on the train, I've seen it, and it's massive.
It's a beacon for the future.
And do you know that they tracked the moon landings? They actually used Jodrell Bank to track the moon landings and verify that it actually took place.
Yes, okay. Well,
so you are now caught in a cleft stick, my friend.
Fake news.
You cannot endorse Jodrell Bank without admitting the moon landings were real.
I will admit the second... Well, I will say that the first moon landing was completely made up. I will say that further moon landings were not made up.
But you know Jodrell Bank tracked it. That's what I'm saying. So you can't have both stories, mate. I'm sorry.
Well, no. I think Jodrell Bank tracked the second one.
No, they packed Apollo 11. You can Google it, dude. You know a lot about Google.
It's all fake news, all of it.
Oh God.
So there you go. Jodrell Bank, moon landings, and 13 crystal skulls. You can't get much better value for money out of a podcast than that, can you?
Mate, that's a fantastic 10 minutes of audio.
Yeah, thanks.
Quite possibly the best we've ever produced. Jesus Christ. Care in the community, at work.
I don't get that's a great story. Everybody else gets that's a great story. I never get that's a great story.
The Jodrell Bank, I said great story. When you said Jodrell Bank, I said, oh, great story. And then you went off on one.
Again?
No, you didn't. You, everybody else gets, oh, that's a great story, and then you move
I
on.
Said, I'm going to play... The amazing thing about the fact I'm recording this, Greeny, is you can play this back at your leisure, and you'll hear me go, when you say Jodrell Bank, I go, great story.
Have you read the BritishMuseum.org site about the crystal skulls?
Do they need encouragement, mate.
Do they have special powers? Basically, it says in a paragraph, no.
Well, I mean, they're non-believers because they put them in a glass case.
No, they're scientists. They tried to measure it, and when they put something next to it, they got f*** all.
And there's no genuine Aztec skulls ever been found. They've never been found there. They're all fakes.
No. They're scientists, but they're not spiritualists. Is that wedge in the chat room? Do you know?
No, she's stuck in Tenerife because the flight was cancelled.
Oh, she'd back me up every time.
Yeah, no, that was it. It was the Mayans reached forward in time and cancelled her flight so she couldn't come and back you up.
Yes, I know. Exactly. I thought the one in the British Museum was an actual one of the 13. That's what I was told by this bloke.
Nah, it's rubbish. Go and read the British Museum's article. It's all rubbish.
So if it's rubbish, why have they got it? Why have they put it on show then?
Yeah. Well, read the old... It's an article on the crystal skulls. You'd have to read it. It's, there were never, ever any found Aztec crystal skulls.
This shit and all the rest of the shit that's produced on this network is supported by TSO hosts. At least this week, anyway. We'd like to thank them, because without them, you wouldn't be able to listen to this shit. They give us all the bandwidth to host the shit that we peddle out every week and pass off as sentient journalism, which it clearly isn't. And without them, you wouldn't be able to listen to all the shit we've ever produced going back to 2008. If you'd like to keep this shit on the air, then you need...
I think you might need to do this advert again.
You need to go to the social media and give them some brand recognition. I mean, you really need to go, because if I was them, I wouldn't peddle this crap anywhere near as much as we do. TSO host, I'm going to write to the Vatican and I'm going to ask for sainthood for everyone at TSO host who keeps this shit on the air. TSO host, we love you. Thank you very much. Please, please continue to support us. If that means we can't have Greeny on anymore, done. But please don't see this one episode as a reflection of all the crap we've peddled for the last 10 years and pull your sponsorship, because we do need you desperately. Please, 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 everyone, get onto social media. And despite the fact that we produce this rubbish, please ask them to continue supporting us. Otherwise, we're in deep trouble. Dear at... TSO host, thank you for supporting at British Tech is all you need to do. And if you want to get some of your own shit, they do hosting. BTN20 will get you 20% off all of the stuff that you buy from them. And their tech support isn't crap. It's really, really good, because loads of people have told us it's really, really good. And their service is brilliant and their hosting skills are incredible. Why you'd believe that after listening to this rubbish, I have no idea. But
we promise.
Thank you. Thanks to Hoyer as well, even though we've lost them. When my prescription changes, I'm getting no more new glasses now. That's all your fault, Greeny.
Why is it? Only because I brought
them. I love my glasses. I love my glasses dearly. These were deeply secret. Oh, I'm lost. I can't. I'm so angry. Cabs, have you got a cool thing?
I have.
Greeny's got a crystal skull on Amazon, $13.99. You can buy 12 of them. The 13 one's missing. and it can't ever come back together with the others.
You put a battery in them and they light up.
Probably. You just hold them in your hand and stick your thumbs in its eyes and it lights up there.
Ah, so you did listen to something I said.
I had no choice. No one else was talking. If I'd been in a Jaguar Land Rover car, it would have sprayed me with something to knock me out, but no.
But yeah, it means they'd driven you straight down a banking.
Yeah, it would have just swerved into a wall and finished it off, yeah.
You're always picking on me, Rankin, only because I bring intelligent and insightful stories to this show.
Which week was that? Because it wasn't this week.
It's been continually now for what? How long now? 10 years or something? Brilliant. I am brilliant.
Camps, your turn.
So my pick this week is, so I did, like I said earlier, I did Leeds 10K on Sunday straight after the race, as is pretty much mandatory. You go straight for a beer.
Good man.
In Leeds Millennium Square, right at the side of it, there's a huge Wetherspoons pub. So I went table right outside, brilliant. And then one of the guys that I was with walked into the pub, was in there 10 minutes, and then walked back out of the pub saying, we're going to have to wait a little while. The queue in there is ridiculous. Obviously, there's thousands of people. So I'd noticed, meanwhile, I'd noticed the Wetherspoons app. So this is brilliant. If you've never used it before, very UK-centric pick. Wetherspoons app, straight on there, put the table number I was on, ordered the beer, paid via Apple Pay. 2 minutes, literally 2 minutes later, the guy walked out from the pub, brandishing a tray with 4 pints.
Oh, that's good.
I've used
you
that.
Don't even have to leave your seat now to go to the bar to order your beer.
That's what it's. That's what technology was invented for.
Absolutely.
And it works,
was brilliant. It then meant that I ended up buying the beers for the rest of the afternoon because I'd already put the app on my phone. But yeah, didn't even have to leave the seat. Didn't have to queue. Amazing.
Yeah, I've used this app a few times. It's brilliant.
What a marvellous age we live in.
Yeah, can you order your food, your beer, all comes.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Yeah, used it a few times.
Yeah.
Good pick.
Brilliant. Brilliant pick. Works. Absolutely proven to work. We were all, we did it, and I've got to be honest, I ordered it, and I did think to myself, I've seen how busy it is in there now. I don't know how long we were waiting. In 2 minutes, the man walked out, tray, beers, there you go. Thanks very much.
So he hadn't pulled them fresh then?
Well,
you can't get you can't get 4 points out in 2 minutes, mate.
Yeah, but the way they do it, they have two or three people, and they're constantly pulling the beers and putting them on the trays and going straight out. So I saw them do it in this one pub and asked them what they were doing, and they told me that's when I downloaded it and tried it.
Mm.
So they have a lady who's pulling the beers, and she puts them on a tray, and then the bloke walks up and just takes them out.
Excellent.
It works. Brilliant.
Right. Good pick, mate. Greeny's thinking now he can pick any old crap, and I'm going to say good pick because I feel bad about the good story thing. So just as a warning, yeah. Greeny, I'm not. Okay?
Oh.
You better pick something good. Right. Howard, what have you got for us, missus?
Right. Let me just put it in the chat room. It is... now, my brother put me onto this. So I don't know if anyone's using it. I'm quite late to the game, but it checks out any movies that you're interested in, especially the ones in the charts, but it looks to see if something's too expensive. It can notify you when the price drops, and it checks across iTunes, Amazon, and I don't know what Vudu is. I don't use it.
Mate,
but you can download it as an app or on Google Play.
I can't believe you've been in the Slack room for as long as you have and not realised James Rickard has ruined everyone's lives with this.
Yeah, I've used it as well.
James Rickard's picked it on the Mac show about a year ago.
Oh, did he? No, yeah, I missed this one. That's probably where my brother got it off then.
I reckon Cheap Charts is owned by Apple because it's a way of reaching into your wallet and extricating every penny from it because it's the bastards. There's so many cool movies that come up and just go out there and you can have them and, give over. Yeah. It is a wallet emptying application, mate. Be careful.
Yeah, I'm going to have to be.
Be very careful, mate. That's a great pick. It's just a website, isn't it? It's a free app.
There is an app. You can get it on the App Store and on Google Play as well. Or you can just do it by the website.
But if you get like those deals where it's like, this is $3.99 now or $2.99 now,
yep.
It alerts you as well, sends you a notification, and your addled brain just goes, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'll buy that.
Yeah, I'll buy that. When's Avengers Endgame out?
Mm.
Unknown. I'll give over. Gone out. No one cares now.
Still in the cinema.
No, but that's the bullshit ending one, isn't it? That doesn't change. It's just a bit of extra footage that I didn't show, but it doesn't change the story.
Captain America still dies at the end. Oh, I might have given that away. Greeny, are you ready for me to come to you, or are you?
Yeah, no. I know what I want to do. It's all about sort of morning motion rather than daily motion.
Okay, that's good.
Do you want to begin?
Go for it, mate.
I don't know about yourself, but when I wake up in the morning, there's...
He puts a Christmas skull
in. Got the song in my head now.
Wake up in the morning.
Anytime.
Because there are ladies. The sunlight has there are three things I do.
The ears are
scratch.
Sniff.
Right. So when I'm sort of woken up in bed, I like to...
I don't want that picture.
Right, I'll do this first.
Anyone else telling this story? We'd have been at midday by now.
I know. Well, listen, it's just loading. So the three things I like to do is I play this one here.
Millie Burns.
My Burns, 1,000 Miles in French.
Played oh, Millie Bonnet. Okay, yeah.
So it's just a card game. So two-player. Hope that I'm expert. Bonnet. All right.
Okay.
Oh, we're getting
loading.
There.
Here we go. So, oh, right. Okay.
You get your cards.
Yeah.
And basically, the other player can... You have to play go to start, and then you put your numbers down, your miles down, or kilometres in this case.
So you want to play your 50 card there, right?
You want to play your 100 card first.
Oh, right. Okay.
So I get to 100, then he plays 50, and I might be able to put... There's a... Wow, things have turned green. Can you see that?
Yes.
It's weird. And the first thing I do... Now, I like to pretend he's a real person in the morning, and so we like to play best of three. You don't have to do that, but that's what I like to do.
Yeah.
So we play best of three, and if it works out, then I'm going to have a great day, and if it doesn't work out, then I'm going to have a rubbish day. And it's a bit like tarot cards, but played with cards on my iPad. My second game...
You've really sold that well, mate.
Really? I mean, I've been playing these for years. Ticket to Ride. This is great. This is another card game. Both are like a pound, if that type of thing. This one, if I press play, solo, and so here... The concept is that you link up your routes. You can get different countries, but I prefer the American one for some reason. And whoever sort of completes all their card journeys wins, and whoever makes the longest journey wins again. So I play that for one game. So we go for the first one, which is best of three. Then we go for this one, which is best of one.
Camps, can you go on mute, mate?
He's bald.
No, I'm not.
We've heard you drink. We've heard you open the top of your bottle.
Give me a minute.
I mean, this is Greeny's picks, man.
Yeah, but I did all that about 2 minutes ago.
Did what?
Just Greeny, carry on, man.
So this is my last one. Oh. Campion, that's your fault, mate. Right, your turn. So this, again, is another card game. I like card games. And this one, I only have one go. And if I don't become something called president, which is what it's called, I just quit the game before it finishes in a sulk. And most times I win anyway because I'm ace at it. So that's my sort of my morning start. So I play that in bed, watching a bit of telly. And then I sort of walk around in my pajamas and my dressing gown for a little while. And
This is really good
and continue
audio.
Continue my lonely and slightly rising damp lifestyle.
Thank you, Reggie.
God, that was so depressing. I even depressed myself.
Good pick, mate. All three of them. Thank you.
Oi!
Yeah, that was a terrible pick.
Never said with intent. Right, that's two lots of edits. Never mind. Muller, what have you got for us, mate?
I've stuck it in the chat room already. It's a self-powered wireless doorbell. I was always missing my Amazon deliveries or people knocking at the door because if I'm upstairs, I can't hear the door.
Self-powered?
Yeah. So you have to plug the two receivers in.
Well, they're not self-powered then, are they?
Well, the doorbell thing is the push button outside.
Was it like piezo? Every time someone pushes it, it...
Yeah, it must do something like that. But it works really well. So I've got one of them in the living room and I've got one in the bedroom. So if anyone comes to the door, it works. And for £20, it works really well. There's hundreds of different tunes you can have. I've settled on the classic Bing Bong because the others were annoying. But if you're up for a doorbell and you don't want one of them camera ones, this one's for you.
Excellent. $19.99 from Amazon. Link will be in the chat room. If you'd like to know any of the links to any of the stuff there, none of them will be Greenies because he's not in the chat room, but the rest are all there. Go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, navigate to the 12th of July, and you'll find them. They'll all be there. Everything you saw, all the stories, everything. There we go. And even there's few extra ones added in to support Greenies' crystal stall theory as well. So.
Is it Thora Herd who used to go up and down on the summer stair lift?
Thora, yes.
Yes, I feel that my sort of...
you are the Thora Herd of podcasting.
I think, to be fair, I don't think I'm on my own with this this collection of picks this week, am I, or not?
What do you mean?
Well, they've all been a bit sort of old school, haven't they? A bit, we're all getting a bit on.
Oh, okay, the doorbell's not brilliant, I grant you, yeah, that's... That's kind of old persons.
It's a nice doorbell. Not everyone wants a spy camera on their front door. It will probably get nicked.
What, mother? I mean,
no, ring replace it if it gets nicked. You get a free one.
If it's wireless, that's very good. You could put it on your summer stand, and that'd be good.
Where can we get a hold of you, Cams?
You can get me at Camping You Can Twitter, all my running stuff's on Instagram at Just Run Chris, and in the Slack room.
Excellent, mate, thank you very much. Howa, where would you be?
I'm on Twitter as Harry A, and I'm also in the Slack room.
Excellent, mate, great to have you on.
Thank you.
Greeny, where would you be, sir?
Britishmark.com. And on Twitter is British Mac.
Is a show imminent?
Well, I think one of the shorts is British Mac Minis. Right. But the next sort of British Mac full will be on the full moon, which I can't remember what date that is. It works for me.
If the full moon gives you the energy to podcast.
Jesus. I don't know. It's something I sort of advertise the British Map podcast as the only podcast that's powered by the moon, and I think it possibly is.
So you take your trousers down?
Well, it's a very fine bottom.
Well, there's a definite bit of barking going on. Muller, where would you be?
On a biker on Twitter, and I'm in the Slack room. That's about it, I suppose.
Excellent, mate. Don't forget, Crack at the Rootless, we recorded that today, it's posted, it's already on the network, so you can have a listen to that. My name's Ewan Rankin, get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network at British Tech as well. Don't forget to support sponsors, because that's really, really cool. And we've got 10 spaces left for the bash if you'd like to come. All you got to do is buy a ticket as normal, and when you get here, I'll return you the fees. And also, we've got the curry on the Friday night as normal, so even if you just want to come for the curry on its own and nothing else, then you're more than welcome to as well. We'll be back again next week. Hopefully we'll have some guests for the Mac Show and the Big Show. We'll have to wait and see, though. No certainties here. If it's not on Friday, it's not happening. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.
Must be full moon.